Luke chapter 15:41-2, 11-42, the lost son, and I'm reading from a Good Note Bible on page 100. Jesus went on to say, there was once a man who had two sons. The younger one said to him, Father, give me my share of the property now. So the man divided his property between his two sons. After a few days, the younger son sold his part of the property and left home with the money. He went to a country far away where he wasted his money in wretched living. He spent everything he had. Then a severe famine spread over that country and he was left without a thing. So he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him out to a farm to take care of the pigs. He wished he could fill himself with the bean pods the pig ate, but no one gave him anything to eat. At last he came to his senses and said, all my father's hired workers have more than they can eat, and here I am about to starve. I will get up and go to my father and say, Father, I sinned against you, against God, and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hard workers. So he got up and shouted back to his father. He was still a long way from home when his father saw him. His heart was filled with pity, and he ran, threw his arms around his son and kissed him. Father, his son said, I sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son. But the father called his servants. Hurry, he said, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on your finger and shoes on your feet. Then go and up a clay calf and kill it. And let us celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, but now he has been found. And so the feasting began. In the meantime, the eldest son was out in the field. On his way back, when he came close to the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what's going on? Your brother has come back home, servant answered, and your father killed a pride calf because he got him back safe and sound. The older brother was so angry that he would not go into the house. So his father came out and begged him to come in. But he answered his father, look, all these years I worked for you like a slave, and I had never disobeyed your orders. What have you given me? Not even a goat for me to have a feast with my friends. But this son of yours wasted all your property in prostitutes. And when he comes back home, he killed the pride calf for him. My son, the father answered, you are always here with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be happy, because their brother was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, but now he has been found. Thanks be to God.
This parable is probably one of the best known parables that Jesus told. It comes at the end of a series of three that Jesus told. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And I'm sure if I asked you to put your hands up, you'd all know the story very well. You probably learnt it maybe at your mother's knee or even at your Sunday school teacher's knee. I was once told we read far too much into Jesus' parables, as they were stories that Jesus told to simple people like farm labourers, fishermen, servants, slaves and the like. They were, as my dictionary puts it, stories to illustrate a moral lesson. When I thought about it, I'm afraid The person that told me that was so wrong. If you look at Jesus' parables, they're full of different truths on different levels. We often call this parable the parable of the prodigal son. As I said, you probably know the story so well. A young son of a wealthy farmer asks his father, can he have his inheritance now? So his father makes over the share of the farm to him, who goes and sells his portion, or his part of the farm, takes the money and goes off to a far land. And he has a great time with lots of parties, lots of friends. He soon gets through his money, and the first thing he finds at the party stop, his friends disappear. He finishes up penniless, wandering the streets. And eventually he finds a man of that city who's prepared to give him a job looking after his pigs. And as we've read, he was so hungry he even ate the pig food. But we read eventually he came to his senses and he realised that his father's servants back home were treated better than he was. So he decides and he rehearses a little speech that will go home and say to his father that he'd sinned against God and against his father. He was no longer worthy to be called his son, and he would be a servant in the house. So off he goes home, doesn't he? Cut a long story short. What happens? Well, what do we call the story of the prodigal son? He goes home to see his father. In my dictionary, it calls a person who a prodigal son, it talks of a reckless, wasteful, extravagant person. That's how it sums up in my dictionary, a prodigal. If the person, or our first verse in Luke 15, we read these verses in verse 1 and 2. One day, when many tax collectors and other outcasts came to listen to Jesus, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law started to grumble. They started to complain as Jesus was telling these parables. This man welcomes outcasts and even eats with them. It was spat out with contempt and disgust and anger. We've got the two pictures of the Pharisees and the teachers of law in the beginning of the parable of the chapter, and at the end we have this picture of a father, a loving father. Let's look again more closely at the parable. The younger son goes to his father to ask for his inheritance. Not ask, demands it. And he demands it now. I want it now. I can't wait. I want it now. I remember when my family sailed to Australia, I asked my father as a joke if I could have my inheritance now, as he was going to the other side of the world. I couldn't understand at the time why he got so upset. I mean, all I jokingly said was, can I have my inheritance now? But he got quite upset. It wasn't till some years later that I realised that what I was saying to him was, in my eyes, Dad, you're dead. In my eyes, you're dead. You see, when the younger son went to his father and demanded his inheritance now, he was saying to his father, I wish you were dead. You mean nothing to me. I want my inheritance now. When Jesus started his parable like this, it must have got the Pharisees and the teachers of the laws really worked up. As under the Jewish law of the day, if a son spoke to his father like that, His father's reply would be, "I have no son. I have no son." And he would be thrown out of the family and disowned. And when he went on to say that the father divided the property between his two sons, they must have pulled their hair out. We know that the son went off and sold his share of the farm and took the money and went off and squandered it, wasted it, misused it. That should have been the end of the story. But what Jesus went on to tell his listeners must have got steam coming out of the ears of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. In verse 15, the citizen or a citizen of that place where he was, of that country, sent him out to his fields to feed the pigs. What's so terrible about that? That was a job. Well, in the eyes of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, by looking after that man's pigs, he'd made himself unclean, untouchable, and would certainly not be allowed into the synagogue or the temple. As the Jew looked upon pigs as unclean, they would have nothing to do with them. And this son who'd come from this loving family had turned his back on his family and gone off and had stooped so low that he finished up feeding pigs and eating their feed. In verse 17 to 23, we read that the young man came to his senses and prepared a speech to deliver to his father. We read it, didn't we? "I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired workers." So with this speech prepared, he set off home, wondering how he would be received. What happened when he got home? He doesn't get a chance to deliver his speech. His father runs to meet him, throws his arms round his son, kisses him. He orders his servant to bring the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and lastly, to kill the prize calf for a feast. I should imagine by now, as the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were listening, they must have been having fits at what Jesus was teaching, what Jesus was saying. If the son had been bold enough in their eyes to come home after what he had done under the law, the father would have told his son, "Don't know you. I have no son. I don't know who you are." Or he may have been sent into the fields to work as a farm labourer, and maybe, in the far distant future, or in the dim and distant future, he might have been brought back into the family. But then in the eyes of the Pharisees and of the teachers, that son was dead. And they couldn't understand how Jesus was saying that the father ran and kissed him. At this level, you could say that the parable of the prodigal is subversive in what it's saying. Jesus is saying to the people that there is a far better way than what the law is and the Pharisees are teaching and what the teachers of the law are teaching. He's showing them that God's way is a far better way. It's a loving way, a way of forgiveness. And I don't often do this, but I'm going to give you some homework. When you get home at your convenience, read Matthew 23, verses 1 to 23. Especially verses 1 to 4. Jesus really lays into the Pharisees and the teachers in the law in that chapter. But the first four verses are interesting. So we've looked at the level of the story as a moral story. We've looked at it as a political, you could almost say, story. There's yet a third level to this parable. We call this parable the prodigal son. Yet the father is mentioned more times in the story or in the parable than the son is. Can I suggest perhaps it should be called the parable of the prodigal father? What did my dictionary say about a prodigal person? One that is reckless, wasteful, and extravagant. I can hear you and looking at your faces, you're thinking, hold on a minute, John. You go too far now. What do you mean? God is extravagant. God is wasteful. God goes that extra mile. Let's look at the father's actions. First, what he did. He went with his son when his son asked for his share of the farm, asked for his inheritance. He was completely entitled, wasn't he, that father, to have turned round to his son and told him, I don't know you. He could have sent him away without a penny. As the son was saying to him at that time, in my eyes, you're dead. But he gave him his share of the farm as he loved him so much that he wanted to provide for that young son's needs. Second, we read in verse 20, while his son was still a long way from home, his father saw him. His heart was filled with love and compassion, and he ran to him, throwing his arms around him and kissed him. It would have seemed that the father had been looking out for his return, for his son to come back every day. We've not told it in the actual parable, but it appears that he was there looking out, waiting for his son's return. What happens when he comes back? There was no rebuke or incrimination. He was welcomed back with open arms and an open heart from his father. He didn't deserve it, but his father welcomed him. Thirdly, verse 22, he told his servants to put on his son the best robe and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and kill the prize calf. This was a great event for the father. The father was so pleased, so happy that his son had returned. Today we would say that the father went OTT, over the top, in his welcome home to his son, as each was a sign of position in that household and a sign of acceptance. A long robe was a sign of distinction, a signet ring of authority. Shoes on his feet showed that he was a son, not a servant or a slave, as they would go around barefoot. And he killed the prize calf, a sign that the homecoming was a special occasion. What a wonderful picture of God's love. What a wonderful picture that a reception a person receives when they return back to God, when they come back to God. What a welcome God gives them. What did I say the word prodigal stood for? Reckless, wildly impulsive, wasteful, using more than is needed, extravagant, spending much more than is necessary, going beyond what is reasonable. when God welcomes us home. That's how God reacts. He receives one sinner that repents and asks God's forgiveness. You see, God just does not show his love to us. He showers it on the person that comes back to him. He offers it without measure. He offers it in abundance and without end. This is the God we've come to think about this morning, to worship. This is the God of love. God is love, so his love is everlasting. It was there before the world was, and it'll be there when the world ends. His love can reach up to the heavens and down to the lowest depths. It can reach right round the world. It can reach any lost sinner who repents and returns back to him. What abundant love God offers. In Romans 8, verse 37 to 39, we read these lovely words. In all these things, we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future. Whatever the world throws at us, God is there. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, who is ours through Jesus Christ, the Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful God we have. A God that showers abundant love on us. And each of the three parables they record in Luke 15, they record the anguish of losing something, a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son, the effect of searching and the joy of finding. Something of great value in this parable. We see a picture of God, a loving Father, who rejoices over every lost soul who is found. Even if you feel far from God this morning, if you haven't returned back to him, I recommend you do it this morning, because you're highly valuable to God. God loves you. God wants to shower his love on you. He's searching for you today. You see, the parables weren't just for farm workers, for servants, for slaves. The parables were all people. At the end of the parable, we hear that the elder son wouldn't come in to the party. Again, Jesus was, I almost say, having a pop at the Pharisees and the teachers of the law again. That prodigal son had come back. His father had forgiven him. But his other brother couldn't even, and if you read the passage again, he couldn't even call him my brother who's come home. He said, your son who's come home. I've been with you all the time. I've kept your laws. I've done what you've asked. But he was like the Pharisees. There was no love in it. It was just law. It was just teaching. There was no compassion. There was nothing for the ordinary people. You had to keep their laws, the Pharisees' laws. Otherwise, that was it. But Jesus brought another way, a new way. He showed the people the love of God and how God was prepared to shower, not just show us, but to shower his love on us.